Rosario. Huh? Hello? What? Sarcastic Voyage intro. You're just gonna delete it next week anyway. Fine. Episode 99 featuring Ron Watt and Matt Robotham. Can I go back to sleep now?
Okay.
Where was I? Rosario. Oh, sometimes in the heat of the moment, it's okay. Want a shirt with the Sarcastic Voyage logo on it? Of course you do! Who wouldn't? Send us $20 plus $5 shipping and we can make that happen. Go to sarcasticvoyage.com and click on the store button for more details. Panel discussion.
Hello, hi, yes.
How's it going, everybody?
Just like last week, this is, what, our third take now?
This is our 85th take.
This is episode 99, but if you count all the times we've false started, it's like episode 706.
Yes, so congratulations on our 706th episode.
Yeah, we gotta do that alternate Marvel numbering, where if it's 99, it's also 706. We gotta put both numbers
out
there.
So, and then when we roll around to a 100, to a multiple of 100, then we got to relaunch it again.
Yep, which I guess we'll do next week.
So, look forward to that.
Oh, I got big plans. I got controversial plans, apparently.
Oh, God damn it.
We're not going to talk about that. We're not going to talk about that. Let's talk about the fact that episode 99 reminds us of that kooky song.
I love that song.
Yeah, me too.
There was a time in high school where I firmly believed, and this is true, where I firmly believed that that was the pinnacle of what music could give us.
See, I thought I was close. I was very near that, only I thought it was Rock Me Amadeus. Which also...
completely understandable.
Which is also partially in German, only that guy was Austrian and not German, but still same language. So,
so apparently what we can take away from this is that Germany knew everything there is to know about rock music.
Apparently so. And I don't even call that rock. Like, it's more of a dance song, really, but... But he refers to himself as Austrian rock singer Falco. So that's what he said. 1985, Austrian rock singer Falco records Rock Me Amadeus. So
I would call myself, if I was Austrian rock star Falco, I would tell people that all the time.
Oh, hello, I am Austrian rock singer Falco. Sadly, Austrian rock singer Falco no longer with us.
I would legally change my name to that.
TM.
TM Falco.
Like, it's on, like, Donkey Kong, you know, that's trademarked now. It would have, you would have to...
It's on, like Austrian rock singer Falco.
Well, sadly, he's no longer with us. He passed away about 10 years ago, and I was quite indifferent, really, because I don't know that I listened to anything of his past that.
So it is off, like, Austrian rock singer Falco.
Apparently so. Is Nina still alive, the 99 Love Balloons chick?
She's alive, but it's not a good life.
She's alive and in perfect hibernation. No, I'm pretty sure she's done various, like, comeback things where she sings that song, and then she tries to sing other things, and people just say, get to the Captain Kirk part!
No new stuff! Just sing working overtime.
Just sing 99 Love Balloons. Not 99 Red Balloons. That version doesn't count.
No.
I don't care what you say. The German one's better. Because then you could imagine she's saying all kinds of cool stuff.
Oh, yeah. If you listen to the English version, you find she's really not singing anything cool.
No,
those lyrics don't make a whole lot of sense.
No, it's really kind of like that the Billy Joel song where he's just reading a list of things that he's thinking about. And
something good, something great, then a thing that happened. It was nice, then it was not as good.
I'm pretty sure he was on like a coke bender and he had a stream of consciousness. He wrote it all down and then he decided, well... you know what would make this song good is if I put it all in chronological order. Then it would sound like I did like this on purpose.
Yep.
And then suddenly it was kind of cool. And I'll admit it's kind of cool, but...
You motherfuckers can't judge me. I wrote Piano Man.
Oh, I can judge him. Although I don't
judge him. It's 9 o'clock on a Saturday.
Ugh. You're going to give me a heart attack.
Ack, 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 ack. Written by Kathy.
Actually, Bill Corbett was mentioning on Twitter the other day how awkward the turn of phrase in Piano Man, tonic and gin, was. He's like, oh yeah, he also orders Beach on the Sex, Coke and Rum, and of course a Russian Black, ack, ack. Actually, that one was mine.
And then a delicious drive screwer.
I really don't like when people twist... Do the Yoda speak to try to rhyme. That really annoys me. Like, just if you don't have a good rhyme there, don't mangle your sentence. Don't mangle your syntax. Just come up with a different word.
9 o'clock on a Saturday it is. Regular crowd shuffles in.
Tonic and gin.
Old man sitting next to me, making love, tonic and gin.
To his.
No, mine. Mine.
That's my
Jedi
dinner.
Master wailing on a droid with a stick.
Yeah, I can see that. Next to a piano.
Yep. That'll be the name of my concept album.
Droid wailing on... Wait, what?
Wailing on a droid with a stick.
Wailing Flowers and Madam.
Wailing Flowers and Matt.
I'm feeling a bit stream of consciousness my own self.
I'm completely fine with that.
Every now and then you're like that or I'm like that, but tonight we both seem to be like that and we'll just seize on one word in the sentence and go off in another direction. And we're kooky like that.
And altogether ooky. Womp Adam's family.
There it is. I wanted to... all right. Stop with the giggles, damn it. We got work to do, Dr. Giggles.
Important work. Was Dr. Giggles Steve Martin?
No. You're thinking of his dentist character in Little Shop of Horrors. Dr. Giggles was maybe the only movie put out by Dark Horse Movies when Dark Horse Comics spread out into the world of cinema in the 90s.
Oh, that's sad.
I don't know if they did any other movies they possibly could have. But
well, they didn't do Hellboy. Maybe they did the Barb Wire movie.
No, I'm pretty sure they once they figured out that they could license their movies out to actual movie studios,
mm-hmm.
I think they stopped.
Wait, we can do that? Yeah.
I'm looking up Dr. Giggles
movies
now. I'm looking up Dr. No. Giggles now, which I keep wanting to call Dr. Gigglesworth, which is just
completely wrong. Dr. Gigglesworth.
I don't know, and I'm confusing this with Darkman as well. I'm really all over the place today.
Darkman is not a good movie.
No, but it's, you know, it's Sam Raimi, and it's got Sam Raimi.
Have we talked about Darkman and my delight in his dancing freak character?
Yes, we have.
Okay, good. That happens when you get to 99 episodes. You start talking about the same goddamn thing over and over again.
We were talking about this earlier today. Where yeah. Like, well, we don't have anything specifically lined up. We don't have a guest. We don't have really any topics. Like, sometimes things will jump out at us in the news through the week, and it just didn't really have a lot. And we're like, well, what about this? Well, we talked about that. What about this? Well, we could bring that up again, I guess. there were so many things that we've talked about in 99 episodes. It's just nuts.
There's nothing left. So now we're just going to sing 99 Red Balloons.
No, we're going to sing 99 Luft Balloons.
We're going to sing 99 Luft Balloons over and over again until you hang up.
Until you hang up?
Yep. Until you hang up the podcast.
Are they calling Dial a podcast?
That's right. I like to believe that they have to connect to the show through that woman from SCTV.
You lost me on that.
There was some woman on SCTV, and I know this because I'm Canadian and I hate SCTV, who would do the one moment, please.
Oh, was that Lily Tomlin?
Oh, maybe.
She did that on SNL also.
Oh.
Was it the one ringy dingy, two ringy?
Yes!
Dingy? Yeah. Yeah, that's Lily Tomlin.
Was she on SCTV?
She may have been. She actually can be funny. I mean, she's a pretty good chick.
Huh, all right.
She was in some later seasons of the West Wing, and I quite liked her in that.
Yeah.
She was crazy. Oh. Crazy, she's crazy. I had some quick that's what I wanted to talk about. Dial a show. Like, early on, They Might Be Giants used to offer free music if you call their number in Brooklyn, and they play a song for you over the radio, or over the phone. I'd love to be able to do that, like, have a dial-a podcast where you just call us on the phone. That would be completely going backwards about 20 years in technology, but something about that just...
I would be fine with that.
Have an old-timey, like, answering machine. We'd have to keep the shows to 30 minutes or whatever the old cassette limit was, but...
You've reached the you've reached Dial a Sarcastic Voyage podcast. You'd like to hear.
Oh, no. There was no push one for this. It was just like an answering machine. It was just, you have to listen to the outgoing message and then you can leave a message if you want. That's it.
You've reached the Sarcastic Voyage podcast. We're out busting ghosts right now.
But if there's something strange in your neighborhood,
just leave a message after this tone.
Set phasers for leaving a message.
Dude.
Yeah. We could get Dave to do the
tone. That was just a guy saying doot.
Well, we could get Dave to do the doot. I think he would do that quite well.
You think he'd do the doot pretty well?
Doot. Yeah.
Doot.
He's a good doot doer.
He does doots daily.
So, speaking of telephones.
Dashing Dave does doots daily.
Oh, knock it off, you. I've had it with your alliteration. So, speaking of telephones.
Yes.
People haven't called our voicemail enough, so they should do that. I have a list of things I wanted to remind people of. There is that. Okay. 206-973-3982. God damn it. Except for Adrian, who calls us constantly. Nobody has really called us on the voicemail for a while.
Well, it does seem to keep him off the ledge, so.
Oh, and, well, yeah. And, well, yeah, those goodbyes are usually a little rough. Oh, Zioko calls us occasionally with a song parody now that he's our resident Weird Al.
Weird Scott Zioko.
I'm surprised we beat him to 99 episodes.
Super high-tech jet fighters.
Yeah. Something, something, Captain Kirk.
Something, something, jet fighters.
So yeah, Scott, step up your game. You're not Weird Al-ing enough.
No.
The fanfic contest, which we wussed out on last week.
Yep.
The poll is still up. It's up to the end of February. Please vote. Please don't just not listen to the show and get a bunch of friends to vote. Please listen to the actual show, watch the videos where appropriate, and vote on the thing you like.
Yeah.
I feel like Bill Cosby having to say, you know, go upstairs, turn on the water, use soap. Like, I have to be so specific. Please only vote for things you've actually heard. Vote once for the thing that you like. Yeah, please do that.
That is great. Give us chocolate cake.
No, he doesn't.
Oh, I know.
I don't like cake.
Well, I do.
One of those things.
You can have pie.
Or pa, apparently.
Pa.
All right.
Hey, let's, which is not to be confused with the post-atomic horror.
No, an entirely different animal there. So let's jump into the mail. What the hell? Let's do this early.
All right. And often.
Yes. We have a couple of suggestions for our Don't Scroll Down feature that we haven't started yet.
Oh, groovy.
Crazy, find some ridiculous things. I these aren't bad suggestions that people have sent in, but they need to be more illiterate.
Yes.
The harder it is for Dave to twist his mouth around the bizarre misspellings of people and terrible grammar of people, I think the funnier it'll be. So bear that in mind.
And keep in mind, Dave's a good mouth twister.
Oh,
and he
absolutely.
Doots like a professional.
Oh,
so.
Don't you start. Let's start. All right.
This is the worst part.
First email comes from Mike X, and he says, Dear Al, Matt, and possible guest. Oh, the subject is egg.
Egg.
I was getting breakfast at the cafeteria one time back in college. And I swear the guy ahead of me ordered two eggs, funny side up. I've wondered ever since which side, in fact, that was. Which leads me to my question. Which conspiracy do you think was responsible for the Kennedy assassination? The Mafia? The Illuminati? Space aliens? Or something darker and more sinister? Excellently yours, Mike.
I always thought funny side up was when you got it so that the eggs formed the eyes, and then you had two pieces of toast cut for ears, and then you had hash browns for hair, and then you had a piece of bacon for a mouth.
I'm pretty sure that's a rooty tooty fresh and fruity.
Really? Because there's no fruit in that.
Well, no, then there's fruit also, but I'm pretty sure IHOP does the thing where they make a face out of your eggs and pancakes and crap.
And we'll make a face out of your pancakes. That sounds like a threat.
I'll make a face out of your pancakes.
We noticed you're a little late on your rent payments this week. If we have to come back, we're going to make a face out of your pancakes.
And next time we got to come around, moon's over my hammy time.
Damn you, IHOP Mafia.
No, that's actually Denny's. God, I hate having to order that crap.
Especially when
you get an exuberant waitress who won't just let you point.
Get this one. Oh, what's that you want, honey?
The rooty, tooty, fresh, and fruity.
Oh, that's one of the ones we make a song for. Oh, hang on a sec.
God.
Oh, and it turns out it's your birthday.
I would push people under the bus every time I went to a restaurant and tell them that it's someone's birthday. But I'm not that dick, so I can't.
That's not the kind of dick I am.
No, a very specific kind of dick, and that's not it. There was a deli where I was growing up, and I'm sure everyone has this. It was called the Showtime Deli, and everything had like a showbiz, like a stupid movie pun.
Oh yeah, the Emilio Estevez sandwich.
Yeah, only more punny. Like Emilio Estevez.
Ugh.
With Charlie Shash Brown. Nah, I got nothing. Yeah. It was just
with awful. A side of what was it? Charlie's Heron.
What? Oh, right. Got it. That was terrible.
I'm okay with that.
All right, that's fine. No, there were frankly Scarlett, I don't give a ham. That was one of them.
Ah!
Just awful.
That hurt my teeth.
And they wouldn't let you they wouldn't let you order just like the ham sandwich. You had to say it. But damn if it wasn't the best deli in town, so I had to.
Well, if they're the best deli in town, there's really nothing you can do but give in to their demands.
Yeah, and it was like a New York-style deli with like the huge fucking sandwiches and just the lunch meat. And just we don't have those here. That pisses me off.
I'm sorry. It seems like Seattle would be the last place to go for a deli.
Yeah. I don't think you appreciate the whole New York-style thing.
Well, having never been to New York, that's probably true.
Yeah, but you've had New York-style pizza, surely, the big floppy slices.
I think so. Not often.
It's delicious, especially in New York. But no, the New York deli, just the big, like, sandwiches stuffed full of stuff and just, like, a pound of lunch meat and just fresh. Oh, God.
God damn it. Why did I ever eat before I do this goddamn show?
I know. And this week we're doing it late at night. So, well, not late at night, but we're doing it when it's dark. So,
I don't know what to tell you. I eat at odd hours.
Well, I'm sure when we're finished, you're going to go get a chili Slurpee or whatever.
That is almost certainly true.
Is it a chili Slurpee? Is that what I'm thinking of? Or
a chili Slurpee sounds like...
Where does chili come from? Where did I get that?
I don't know. That sounds like a Slurpee, but with like meat in it, which, you know, I would probably eat.
Or drink.
Or drink.
I always enjoy drinking a good meat.
I dreet.
No, I'm gonna throw a flag on that one. That's a sports reference, by the way.
Is it throwing a flag? I thought you meant dreet.
Yes, dreet was a sports reference.
And that's why you were throwing a flag on it. It's like, okay, no, none of that.
Since our whole wheelhouse controversy, I've been trying to point out whenever we borrow sports metaphors, just like hitting a home run, that's a sports metaphor.
Yeah, or...
In case you didn't know.
Goaling.
I'm always talking about the old pepper and goaling. Anyway,
that time you goaled the old pepper.
Give me the old
what
pepper.
What a mess.
So, to the question. Conspiracies. Actually, I hinted at this before. I had this elaborate theory about the phone company.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure the phone company killed Kennedy. The phone company was also responsible for Crystal Pepsi. There's this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
But now since it's been broken up and respread and recombined, and it's not the same anymore. There used to be just one phone company in America, and it was horrifying, and they were responsible for everything.
Yeah.
That's all past now.
They eventually evolved into Diamond Comics.
That may be true.
That would actually explain a lot.
Which is probably another force that's keeping me from buying comics.
Mm-hmm.
There's this local comic store near my work. Which I was excited because it's like I finally have some money again. I can go get some comics. I can get back into this thing. I've been on a bit of a tick bender of late. I've been watching the old Tick show and reading the old Ben Edlund comics.
That's not funny, dude. Thousands of World War I troops died of tick bender.
Well, I didn't want to say a tick kick because that would be like an Archie comics story. Tick kick. So I was trying to go with something a little different there. So Tick Bender, he's got, you know, he's got the two antenna and spoon meatbag. Yeah, I got nothing.
Could he be playing poker with Data?
Yeah, why not?
Tick Bender.
So I went to this comic shop and it's like a mile from work. It's like, great, I'll go get lunch and I'll go to get comics. They're not open till noon. So like, fine. So I go back there again and I get like $30 worth of stuff. I get some Tick comics. I get a couple other things. I find these JLU figures I've been really wanting.
Nice.
We got a collection started. We got like Batman and a couple other guys, and I wanted to at least get like the core seven. I wanted to get like Superman and Flash and Wonder
Blue
Woman
Devil,
and so forth. Yes, Blue Devil is one of the core seven, Matt. And I bring it up, and it's like $30 some dollars. I give him my credit card. He's like, oh, we don't take plastic. What? Nope, sorry. Only cash or check.
Really?
Check.
A check. In 2011.
So I'm gonna bring you a sheep and a bag of barley, and they'll give me my fucking comics. God damn. I mean, I know I sound hacky complaining about this. I know I do. And I know I have a bit of a ridiculous, exaggerated rant about paper money and whatever. But really, paper money's not going anywhere. That's fine. But really, take credit cards and debit cards for the love of fuck.
Yeah, do you not like money? Is that the problem? Yeah.
I mean,
are you Scrooge McDuck? Do you feel the need to swim around in today's profits?
Well, I did see his number one dime behind the
well, I'm sure that's all. I'm sure that's all the money he'd pulled in that day.
If I'd stolen that from him, it might have drained him of his powers.
Well, and then you could use it for your dark magic, which would have been awesome.
Yeah, but I unfortunately am not descended from the Dispel family.
My uncle was a Beagle Boy.
Was he 176671 or 176?
No, he was 831971.
No. It's only 17 and 6. I don't know why.
No, he was a Canadian. He was a Canadian Beagle Boy. They wore blue sweaters.
No, there's some kind of weird math joke with the Beagle Boys where all their numbers are 176 something. It's very strange.
That is strange. Do they keep all Beagle Boys in one part of the jail? Because that seems like it would be a good way for them to plot and break out, which they did a lot.
Also, they don't look much like beagles. As an owner of a beagle, I gotta say they're not very beagle-esque.
Well, I mean, they've got those like sort of Disney beagle ears, but that's about it. They've got that weird Disney dog face where it's sort of pink with that black nose thing.
Yeah, where you might be Goofy and you're like a sentient dog.
Yeah, you might be Goofy or you might be Giants.
Right. Yeah, well, you might be Dial-A-Dog.
Don't let's start again.
You might be Dave Duding a Dial-A-Dog.
Daily.
Oh, God damn it.
Daily Daring Dave Dutes a Dial-A-Dog.
You and Stan Lee with your fucking alliteration.
Excelsior! Spider-Man.
Conspiracies, Matt. You got any?
I totally think that JFK was killed by the Denny's Mafia. He failed to order a moon over my hammy correctly.
I would like a moon over my hammy.
I would like to order a moon over my hammy.
Ich bin ein moon over my hammier.
More syrup for my pancakes.
That was terrible, and that should have been greeted with the silence that it was. Actually, this is totally true. I'm not making this up. This weekend, Amanda's out of town. Actually, she's going up to see you.
Yep.
And Sabrina, who's back in the area for a bit. And yep. I have a movie particularly coming from Netflix that I know she doesn't care for coming, since I'll be by myself for a couple of days.
Uh-huh.
I have JFK, which is one of my favorite movies, and she thinks it's kind of boring, which I can see.
Mm-hmm.
I have it coming on Blu-ray. I'm checking out some of my favorite movies on Blu-ray to see if it's worth, you know, double dipping.
Right.
And there's this great scene that Adrian loves pointing out. This is completely true. This is not a lie. There is a gay orgy with dudes painted in gold and doing, I think, like medieval snuff.
Okay.
The four dudes in this scene, in this gay orgy scene, are all well-known actors.
Okay.
Picture, if you will, painted in gold. One of them wearing a Golden Age Flash pie pan on his head.
Okay.
Tommy Lee Jones.
All right.
Kevin Bacon.
Okay.
Joe Pesci.
Oh, no.
And Gary Oldman.
Oh.
As Lee Harvey Oswald.
Oh. Okay, yes. Then.
I get to see that in glorious high definition. I am looking forward to that.
Wow, I didn't think Joe Pesci could look any better in Blu-ray, but painted gold, dipped in gold, he looks amazing.
With a pie pan, Golden Age Flash hat. And doing, like I said, medievally type snuff. Oh, it's totally ridiculous. A lot of his theories are like a little out there, but that's the most ridiculous part of it. He's decided that the homosexual underworld is tied to the guy Tommy Lee Jones, who's masterminded everything, and he has these crazy gay orgies in New Orleans, and that's what it culminates in, is this brief little scene where.
How the fuck am I funny? Well, Joe, you're painted gold and you're wearing a pie tin. Oh, yeah, okay, I guess that's fair. That's pretty funny.
It's so ludicrous. Like, I love the movie because it's got just a lot of cool artsy stuff going on, and it's got a great cast. And I don't buy into the theory at all, but there's a lot of really good. It's got John Candy right before he died doing a serious role.
He's actually really good.
Yeah. And just a lot of great people in it. And plus, if you're ever playing the Kevin Bacon game, that is like the crossroads. Like, everyone's in that movie, and Kevin Bacon is as well. So if you're having trouble getting from Kevin Bacon to someone else, JFK will save you.
Yes. Don't make the mistake I did and always just reference Hollow Man. No one else was in Hollow Man.
Wasn't that the awful Invisible Man movie that he did?
Yes, it was. It was also a defining movie of my high school for some reason.
You know what movie that I didn't think was terrible, Invisible Man-wise, was the Chevy Chase one.
Oh, Memoirs of an Invisible Man?
Yeah, it wasn't great, but that's another one where sort of that 80s comedian was trying to be a little more serious.
I never saw that, but I always thought it looked really interesting.
It wasn't bad. It's a little dated now with the effects, but before they had CG, they did a decent job trying to show him as invisible. I think somebody good directed that. I'm thinking John Landis, but I might be wrong. But somebody...
That's possible.
Who actually... I will look that up. I will not ask Cleverbot. I will actually look it up.
I want to say Joe Dante, and I'm pretty sure that's not right.
No, it's not right. I'm a big Joe Dante fan, and I would know if it were him. His stuff is a little funnier, and
I need to watch The Birds.
John Carpenter, actually.
Oh, really? John Carpenter?
Directed Memoirs of an Invisible Man, yeah.
That guy is extremely hit and miss.
Well, yeah, and it wasn't, like, I'm not going to argue that it was, you know, a fantastic movie, but it bombed badly. It bombed like Hudson Hawk bad, and it didn't deserve to.
It set back invisibility movies for years.
Well, listen, The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen didn't do that any favors either.
No, well, come to think of it, neither did Hollow Man.
Hollow Man. I don't know why that just sounds like a taunt.
Hollow for a dollar?
Shoot for some clout.
Let's turn this party oot.
I don't know. It just sounds like someone's taunting someone. I'm like, hollow man. I don't know why I picture it that way, but I do.
Oh, hollow man.
So it's Kevin Bacon and anybody else at all? Come out to play. Is anyone in that movie other than him?
I don't think so.
Other than his disembodied voice, actually.
No, because I remember quite clearly you get to see his pale ass towards the end.
Oh, well, of course you do. Uh-huh. They wanted to go with pale ass as a title. But,
There was one guy on the set who really loved, who kept going, hollow man! No one knew who he was, and he kept running away when anyone tried to approach him.
One kid really likes the hollow man. Well, that was directed by Paul Verhoeven.
Oh, yeah.
And he did, I believe he did RoboCop, didn't he?
Yeah, he did RoboCop.
He did fucking Showgirls, so what do I know?
Oh, well. I would love to see a combination of Hollow Man and Showgirls.
And RoboCop. I'd buy that pale ass for a dollar.
Can you fly, Johnny?
Oh, Chris. Oh, and of course there was a direct-to-video sequel, Hollow Man 2.
The search for Hollow Man's gold?
No, but this is great. This is awesome. You know who was the lead in Hollow Man 2?
Who is the lead in Hollow Man 2?
Okay, think of the most substitute actor you can think of, like the non-union equivalent.
Think of the hollowest man you know.
Like, it's a name you will know. Oh, but God. Think of someone who, if you can't get the big name actor, you go for the second tier. Well, this guy's available, because this guy's always available.
Oh, God.
Not quite a sandwich actor, I would say. Just sort of a second string. Never quite made it because he was always, he was never really his own man kind of thing. It's Christian Slater.
I was just going to say Christian Slater. I couldn't remember his name. I was totally, I'm like, who the fuck is the guy who wanted to be Jack Nicholson?
And then he decided he wanted to be Harrison Ford, he said. That was the great, I think I've told the story before.
But I love that story.
He's in an interview, and he's like, I've decided to stop. I've grown up. I've decided to stop imitating Jack Nicholson, because I'm done with that in my career. Now I'm going to imitate Harrison Ford. And he wasn't kidding.
Nope.
Like, that's a comedy line. That's not a straight line. That's a, you know,
Well, now I'm going to be serious and be stupid.
What he doesn't say is that he got a cease and desist from Jack Nicholson.
Listen, Harrison Ford threw him off his plane, so that was pretty rough. Christian Slater.
I really got to stop going on his plane.
Actually, Harrison Ford was in his actual life, is a big helicopter guy. The company, seriously, like, he pilots helicopters. He loves them. He owns at least one, I think more. The company I used to work for, the major...
supplied him with helicopters.
Yes! Supplied him with helicopters. He would come down to the factory, he would test fly one, and then he would buy it.
Wow. Did you ever see him?
For millions of dollars. No. This was the home office in Texas.
Oh, okay.
I was in Maryland working on a military contract, but no, this company, he would... Because I heard people I worked with down there would say, Harrison Ford came through last week. It was great. And they would shut down the plant, and his security would come, and they would fucking fly a helicopter. It was awesome.
So, Mr. Ford, are you going to call this one the Falcon? Go to hell.
Yeah, he hates Han Solo.
Yeah.
He would call it, like, you know, something after Indiana Jones. But,
yeah, he likes Indiana Jones.
Yeah. What the fuck's the difference?
How can you hate Han Solo?
Yeah, come on. They're both cool, man.
He shot first.
Sometimes.
And often.
Man, now we're not talking about Christian Slater anymore. I can't make my terrible Christian Slater pun.
Well, let's see if I can bring it back around. So Christian Slater's in the news today.
You know, I always thought the expression was shoot first and ask Christian Slater.
That was worth it.
I've been sitting on that one for a while. I think I used it as a Facebook status not long ago. Just haven't been able to wedge that in anywhere. All right, man, shoot first and ask Christian Slater. Let's go to another letter, Matt. What do you say?
Can we actually answer that letter?
He asked about conspiracies.
I think that's right. Yeah, I think we might have gone off on every tangent available.
Well, this is what happens when we don't do any planning.
Oh, fuck.
Tangents happen.
All right, let's go. Let's hear another letter, Al.
This one comes from Mel from the Chuck vs. Mel.
This one comes from the Mal files.
She writes, "Dear Matt and Al, how are you? I'm fine. Question: which is better?" I'm inserting punctuation here because she says, "Question: which is better, shampoo?" Question: which is better, shampoo which goes on first and washes the hair, or conditioner which makes the hair smooth? And she signs it, "Yours in Billy Madison," but. I am not a Sandler fan.
So. No, I know. I told her that right after she sent that letter.
Ugh.
I'm like, he is not going to care for this. He is not a Sandler fan.
No, in fact, I am an anti-Sandler fan.
Yes, in much the same way that I am anti-Rob Schneider. Derp to derp to derp.
Rob Schneider was at least inoffensive on SNL. His movies are also terrible.
Mm-hmm.
But my problem was... Sandler and David Spade and sad to say the late Chris Farley all came around when SNL I thought was good, and they kind of stunk up the place, and especially fucking Sandler with his God, I hate that.
One of the Celebrity Jeopardies, I forget who was doing him, but he did an impression of Adam Sandler that pretty much sums the character up perfectly for me.
I do like when SNL turns on its own.
Yeah. No, it's like...
They just make fun of one of their own guys. That's great.
It's like, Adam Sandler is here. One time I was on this boat, and my friend was all like, "Come to the back of the boat!" I'm like, yeah, that's Adam Sandler.
That's pretty... Actually, I gotta give him credit. He's capable of self-parody. Mm-hmm. There's this great... the best thing SNL ever put together was their fucking self-congratulatory patting themselves on the back 25th anniversary special, which,
yeah,
if you can get that on DVD, so good. And there's actually a couple other things I want to mention about that, but there's a bit where Sandler comes out. It's a salute to the writers.
Yeah.
And so they contrive some situation where the writers refuse to provide him with any material. They're just standing behind him, and he's got to get up there, and he just goes... like in his stupid little baby voice. And he just, I got nothing. These guys, without these guys. It was pretty good. That's the one, actually, oddly enough, fucking every time I watch it, John Lovitz can make me cry, which is so strange.
Really?
Yeah.
They do a salute to all the guys who are no longer with us.
Yeah.
Like they get Aykroyd and a couple of the original guys out to salute Belushi.
Mm-hmm.
And then they get Spade and a couple of the later guys to salute Chris Farley.
Yeah.
And they get John Lovitz and Dennis Miller and a couple of the guys from like the late 80s, early 90s to do a Phil Hartman thing.
Oh, yeah.
And he just comes out and his voice breaks and is just like, this guy is so snarky and mean and just kind of dickish all the time.
Yeah.
Something about watching Lovitz break down and realizing it's about Phil Hartman just every time, just like, oh, Jesus, that hurts.
Yeah. That is a great special.
It is. It's a lot of fun. I love the bit. I'm just going to tell everyone what happens in it so they don't have to write it. Because nobody
ever will save you a lot of time and money.
There's the bit where Christopher Walken.
Oh, yeah. I love this.
There's a Q&A with Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
Like talking about what it's like to be an SNL guest. And the funny thing is whenever they do stuff with the audience is full of celebrities. People have been on the show and musicians and actors. And so it's not like they're just regular guys anyway. But he's taking Q&A from the audience and, you know, they're trying to play along. And Christopher Walken, and I can't do Christopher Walken, so bear with me here. Uh-huh. So how much of the show is, you know, crazy make-em-ups? And how much of it is scripted? He's like, oh, I don't know. The show might seem sort of, you know, stream of consciousness and you know, sort of, you know, when we're really on, it seems like everyone just kind of goes with it. But no, it's actually very tightly scripted. Really? Because whenever I'm on, they just let me do whatever I want. I just get to say what, you know, just look in the camera, whatever. They just go with it.
I fully believe that is exactly what happens when Walken shows up.
Yeah, I believe.
Because that. I don't think for a second you can tell him what to do.
I'm not as impressed with Christopher Walken as some people are. That was a funny bit, and I think he's a funny guy. I just putting Christopher Walken in something doesn't automatically make me want to see it.
It's not that I'm impressed with him, but he always delights me.
I don't dislike him, but I don't see what the big deal is, really. He's capable of self-parody, which is good, but I don't know, like, I always go back to Batman Returns, where I didn't know who he was at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw that movie, like, that was my first encounter with him. I was like, well, this is cool, the Penguin, Catwoman, mm-hmm. and who the fuck is this weird guy?
Oh, come on. How can you not like Bruce Wayne? What the hell are you doing dressed as Batman?
Oh, he's got some good lines in there. I love the, when like right before he turns Michelle Pfeiffer into Catwoman.
Mm.
And they're standing up on a high floor of a building. And she's like, she's just discovered that he's done something evil.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, it's not like you're going to push me out of a window. Actually, it's a lot like that. And then he pushes her out the window. And he does fucking awesome walk-in-y deadpan. But
yep.
I just, at the time, I'm thinking, who the fuck is this guy? And I've just never gotten over that. Whenever I see him, it's like, why is that guy here?
Yep.
Who the fuck is this guy?
Also one of the finest sandwich actors.
Oh, yeah. Well, he freely admits, if he has an opening in his schedule and the pay is right, he will do whatever. He doesn't discriminate. And I kind of admire that. I admire... Yep. He doesn't defend them as good product as good projects. He just says, look, I got to work.
Yep.
People will hire me. If I'm available, I will work.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool. And that's how sometimes he'll end up in fucking Leprechaun in the Hood. Or I don't know that he wasn't that. But
oh, man, you almost convinced me to see Leprechaun in the Hood.
How have you not seen Leprechaun in the Hood? That seems like right in your sports reference wheelhouse.
See, I like slasher flicks quite a bit, but the Leprechaun movies never did it for me. I've seen the first three. None of them are very good. And they're not even bad in the way I like slasher flicks.
I just assumed, much like me, because you weren't quite out of the go down to the video store and rent a stack of slasher movies era.
Oh, no, like, I totally did that.
I think kids coming up now will just dial them up on Netflix, but I think, you know, back from the early 80s through the late 90s, mm-hmm. any of us who were sort of teenagers at that point and could get to the video store and have our own money and check out R-rated movies without getting carded or whatever, you know, that's a period where we all went and just got every slasher movie they had.
Oh yeah. No, that was a party at Mad's house for the weekend.
Yeah. Well, I imagine Amanda coming up this weekend, that still possibly could happen.
With any luck, it will.
I'm now looking at the filmography of Mr. Walken. And I don't see anything too ridiculous. I mean,
the Country Bears jam. The Country Bears movie sticks out.
Kangaroo Jack.
He was in. Of course, he was in Kangaroo Jack.
He was in Jiggly, or however you say that, Jiggly. The horrible.
He was in Jiggly.
Jiggly. The Ben Affleck Jennifer Lopez thing that everyone said stunk on toast, which I didn't see. But,
Jiggly.
Look, I saw Jersey Girl. That's enough. All right. Don't make me see both.
You saw Jersey Girl?
Yeah, I did.
Wow.
I was still with Kevin Smith at that point. He's lost me now, but I gave it a shot. I just don't assume, like, because I've been bitten so many times, I just don't assume things are as bad as I think they are. I will look at them, and then I will make my own judgment.
See, I might have seen Jersey Girl, but I have heard him talk a lot, and he seems to always put it down. And so it's just like, fine, I won't see it then. You talked me into it.
This was before I started, I don't now, but there was a period where I would, you know, watch his stuff and listen to his stuff. And this was before that. I didn't really, I just kind of rented it. I just threw it in the Netflix queue and it showed up. And Carlin's in this and Chris Rock's in this. And how bad can this be? I think Chris Rock was in it, wasn't he?
Yeah, no, he was in it.
That's what I thought, because he held on to a lot of the guys he got in Dogma. He does that. He did that thing for a while where directors sort of collect actors. When you get a good one, you keep them and put them in all your movies.
Yep.
And not to say that Chris Rock is a good actor. He's a good comedian. But
yes.
He's been in terrible movies. Oddly enough, in that SNL 25th thing, he gets up in front of the crowd of SNL alumni and says, man, there's so many bad movies. You people are so responsible for so many bad movies. I'm just like, really? Pot? Kettle? And then I realized, Pot, Kettle, Black, that's probably racist.
Oh, no, I'm in a lot of trouble now.
Yeah. Should we be talking about this? No, I'm looking at this list of walk-in movies, and I don't know these things by title, a lot of them, but there's not a lot of terrible things in here. He was in Sarah Plain and Tall, apparently. He's in something called Jungle Juice.
That doesn't sound like a movie I want to see.
But then he was in Catch Me If You Can, which I think was supposed to be a good movie.
Yeah.
Apparently Julius Caesar.
Really?
I was in the remake of the Stepford Wives that Frank Oz did, which I heard wasn't very good.
Yeah, it was okay. The original's better.
It's in The Wedding Crashers, which if you like that kind of thing, apparently.
Oh, God, he had the best line in The Wedding Crashers. It's not even funny, but it's my favorite line in that entire movie. I watched that with my sister one time.
Yeah?
And they're talking about some guy. They're going to go out on the yacht. And Christopher Walken's this rich guy who owns a yacht.
Uh-huh.
And one of the guys isn't going to come, and they're just like, oh, he's not coming. And Walken goes, oh, fine, we go without him.
What did he say? Let's tell me why so.
He basically did, I can't do it.
Well, did he do his continental accent?
Yes!
When he was on SNL, he would play the continental, which was like a first-person camera thing where he played a weird European guy trying to lure a woman into his apartment.
Yeah.
He did that character, huh?
Yeah, he's just, fine, we'll sail without him.
That's awesome.
I'm just like, thank you.
Oh, and coming up for him, the next TBA, they don't have a date for it yet, a movie called Dead Man Walkin'. And the role he plays, himself.
Oh, God, I hope this is like being John Malkovich, only with Christopher Walken.
No, I don't think so.
Aw. Walken!
That's right, he was in Annie Hall. That was the first time he got all Walken-y.
Well, he was great in The Dead Zone.
Yeah, yeah. No, Annie Hall, which I didn't care for, because it beat Star Wars for Best Picture, but also... it's where Woody Allen stopped being wacky and started writing romantic comedies about Diane Keaton, which got old after the first time, but he did 20 times.
His need to both fuck Diane Keaton and New York.
And then when Diane Keaton left, he started doing it with Mia Farrow, and now he just changes it every time, but it's still the same sort of woman. Anyway, I liked his early stuff when he was funny. But no, Christopher Walken has a great bit. I think he plays her sister.
Hello, I'm your sister.
He plays her, I think her brother or a relative of hers. Uh-huh. Where he just has this little monologue about loving to drive at night and driving into the headlights of oncoming cars. And it just sort of set the tone of his entire career, I think.
I believe that Christopher Walken enjoys doing that in real life.
Yeah, I don't. I think they just turned the camera on and Woody Allen just discovered him first.
So, Chris, you know, my favorite thing to do, drive around.
Hey, wait, hang on, let me get the camera.
Okay, crash into cars.
So Mal's asking about shampoo and conditioner.
Shampoo may be better because it goes on first and makes the hair clean. Conditioner is, in fact, better because it makes the hair silky and smooth. Now stop looking at me, Swan.
Okay, I fear because you and Mal apparently spend time talking when she's not on our show, I fear that there may be some inside jokes happening here.
No, not at all. This is, if you watch Billy Madison, that's directly from it.
Oh, God damn it.
But you haven't, so, you know.
No, in fact, I'm going to light you on fire.
So, I didn't send the question.
I don't care. You knew the quote.
Yeah, I like Billy Madison.
Ugh, why?
It's funny.
Yeah.
Look, I was a big Adam Sandler fan in high school, okay? I watched the movies, I had the CDs, I was a fan, okay?
Mal, if you're listening to this show, and I hope you are, you are responsible for me lighting Matt on fire. When I light him on fire, I will say, this is for you, Mal. You did this. You made it happen. Just so you know. Next question comes from English Gav. Haven't heard from him for a while.
And he writes, Dear Matt and Al, which is better, shampoo, which goes on first?
No, yes. Dear Matt, Al, Dave, Amanda, and Robert.
And the rest.
Robert? I thought it was Steve.
Robert Terwilliger.
Robert Underdog Terwilliger. last year, I refused to watch Avatar out of spite. Hey, me too.
Me too. Oh, wait, I just wanted to.
What good/hyped film this year can I look forward to not watching out of spite? Yours spitefully, ye olde English Gav.
Well, I'll pick Tron.
No, that's a long, complicated story that I've told. Once again, I've told it before. In fact, I think on Bob's first appearance in episode 3 or so, where I hadn't seen it and it was funny to keep not watching it, and then it sort of steamrolled into a thing.
Yep.
And I didn't watch the second Tron because I couldn't watch the first one, so, you know. And the thing is, even if I wanted to at this point, it's not available on DVD.
That is true.
What the fuck? They put out this high-profile thing that they couldn't shut up about, and they wouldn't let people watch the original.
Did you see this thing that was on Topless Robot today? They're releasing the new set. Yeah, they're releasing Tron Legacy.
Yep.
In that set, you get Tron Legacy. Tron Legacy is a digital copy. Tron Legacy in 3D, and Tron Legacy High Def, and Tron.
Yeah, so a DVD and a Blu-ray, and a 3D version, and a digital version.
Yeah. That, no matter what you own, that is one useless set of Tron.
Well, I'm not seeing any of them, so. But there's your Jeff Bridges technology and every possible permutation.
Jeff Bridges technology, the ability to young Jeff Bridges and put out too many copies of a DVD.
Now, here's the thing I find, not fascinating. This is something that everyone complains about, and this is not an original complaint for me. I bet, even with that set, somehow they managed to make certain fans double dip at some point.
Oh, I'm sure.
And buy another set of 5 Trons.
They'll do Ridley Scott's Tron Legacy, the definitive director's version.
God damn it.
Or it turns out that Tron is a robot at the end or something.
And they had a 5 seconds of voiceover that changes everything. And,
yeah.
People yelled at us for our opinions of Blade Runner, by the way. You know that.
We stand by them, though.
Yep. God damn it, Blade Runner.
Yep.
Look, it looks good, but I don't care.
It's a neat world.
Yeah.
But and don't. I like their umbrellas.
Oh, yeah. Great. And the origami.
Yep.
Nice origami.
Yep. That's about it.
Plus, it's weird to see Adama from Battlestar Galactica as a young man.
Yep.
But apart from that, don't care.
Look, this is a thing. If there was any conceivable way for me to like this, I would. It's a film noir flick with sci-fi.
Yeah.
Those things are awesome. That is an easy sell for me, but that flick is boring as shit. I said it.
It's early 80s Harrison Ford in a movie about robots. I mean, you can't sell me more on a movie than that, and yet...
Yeah. Here we are. I don't know what to tell you.
Yep. And I like Ridley Scott also, especially Ridley Scott from that era. I mean, you know. Oh, also the Alien prequel now apparently will have aliens in it after all.
Oh, thank God. Now I can go see it.
But it's still not an Alien prequel.
You know what? Fuck it. No, there was no way I'm not going to see it anyway.
I think it's kind of cool that he's coming up with a story that may or may not fit. It doesn't neatly fit into, like, it's not a reimagining. It's not a whatever. You know what? I'm just writing a story. Fuck you.
Yeah. No, I'm excited like for Prometheus.
Is that what it's called now?
Yes.
All right. Very well. Anyway. What, Prometheus. So maybe he can, maybe English Gav can skip that out of hype. Out of spite, rather, not out of
hype. Out of hype.
Yes, out of spite.
Out of hype, spite.
No, hype is the opposite of spite. Spite is anti-hype.
Daring Dashing Dave does...
God damn it! I'm going to set you on fire with a knife. You heard me.
Knife fire.
I don't even know what's out this year. Like, I have
knifing around. Burn, 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 burn.
Fire, fire. No, I'm trying to think of what's coming out this summer, and I don't know. Like, most of the things I'm looking forward to aren't out until next year. Like, the next Batman movie, the next...
Next Star Trek movie.
Yeah, which isn't even written yet, apparently.
No, I know.
I'm not gonna get upset about that.
Nope.
I'm wait.
I'm perfectly serene. Calm blue oceans.
Serenity blue now! No, I don't know what's coming out. Is Captain America out this summer?
Captain America's out this summer, and Thor is out this summer.
I never thought I'd say this, but Thor's looking good to me.
Thor is out this summer.
I've never found the character particularly interesting. Just a bit of a mess, bit of a jumbled, like, here's some mythology, he talks like Shakespeare, there's a horse for some reason.
Hey, that horse is awesome, okay?
You can
knock Thor all you want,
no,
but
I'm
that horse is badass.
It hasn't appealed to me in any of its forms. And mostly I'm talking about the original, like, creepy, weird Jack Kirby stuff.
Yes.
But, I mean, there might be good comics now. I haven't checked it out for a while. It would be unfair for me to disparage it. But I didn't think that the movie would appeal to me at all. And apart from the unfortunate presence of Natalie Portman, who I am not a fan of,
no,
it's actually looking quite good to me.
Yeah.
Fucking Kenneth Branagh.
Yeah.
Also, apparently the guy playing Thor played Kirk's father in Star Trek.
Yep.
Which I keep forgetting, which is
yes,
cool.
That is also correct.
And Sir Anthony Hopkins.
Yeah. No, I am willing to give Thor a chance.
Oh, you're a fan of the comics anyway, so, you know.
That's true.
But what else?
It's not a hard sell to get me into a superhero
movie.
No,
it was a very hard sell to get me into a Thor movie. And they managed to do that. I thought, like, of the Avengers ones, like, I figured if they did Captain America right, that would be cool.
Yeah,
obviously,
which it looks like they're doing.
Right. Yeah, yeah, no, that looks very promising.
Mm-hmm.
Are they doing any other ones before they just do the Avengers, or is it just
Iron Man next is, after this is Avengers?
Okay, because I mean, they could do Ant-Man, I suppose.
Aunt May, the movie.
I love making that Aunt May, Ant-Man thing. With the power of Galactus.
She loves wheat cakes.
What else? Mine is the power wheat cake. What else is coming out this summer, though? Like, I really honestly do not know.
Oh, man, I don't know.
Like, the big blockbusters and, like, the big hype. Like, because people still won't shut up about Tron, and I'm serious. They still won't shut up about Tron. I don't know. All my news sources just talk about Tron.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's the topless robot guy.
It's not just
Tron.
Him, though. It's IO9, and it's, I have two or three other nerd sites that I follow, and they all love talking about Tron.
I don't know what to tell you, man. It was okay.
Oh, I have no opinion. Like, I don't even
it. Was a good-looking movie.
I just... The
well, that's just your opinion, man.
The relentless marketing behind it is just like, enough with Tron.
Seem to work.
I guess. I don't know.
I don't know. What is out this summer?
I have
Pirates of the Caribbean 4.
Oh, that actually, I know you probably haven't seen Deadwood, but casting Al Swearengen from Deadwood. Just a really grizzled, angry, like, he'd make a perfect pirate.
Is he playing Blackbeard?
Series. Yes,
because that's fucking awesome.
Yeah. That dude, when you watch Deadwood, like, I know you have that in your large pile.
Yeah, I am getting to it.
You'll see that guy and you'll say, fuck yeah, he'd make a good pirate.
Yeah. Now, I loved all three of the Pirates movies. They're just a lot of fun.
They're not really my thing, but I see the appeal, and I don't think they're bad movies. They're just, And I love that Johnny Depp will just do that forever. Like, he'll do a weird art faggy movie, and then he'll do that, and then and forth.
He thinks they're fun, and, you know, I can completely get behind that.
Yeah.
Because that's great. As long as he's willing to have fun in them, they are fun.
But when you think about it, it's Disney, and it's a movie based on a theme park ride.
I'm as surprised somehow, as you are, okay?
And that's not a criticism. It's just, and now look what they've made of that.
I know.
The Country Bear Jamboree movie, you know.
Yeah, not so much.
Yeah.
See, also The Haunted Mansion with Eddie Murphy.
Really?
Yeah, did you not know about the Haunted Mansion movie?
I gave up on Eddie Murphy a long time ago. I actually found out recently that he was in a movie that Bill Corbett wrote, and that just made me sad, because apparently it was terrible.
Oh, real poor Bill Corbett.
It's called Starship Dave. It's about aliens who...
Bill Corbett wrote Meet Dave?
Oh, is that what it ended up called?
It's called Meet Dave.
His actual screenplay was called Starship Dave. I guess they changed it to Meet Dave. Yeah, it's like aliens pilot a fake guy.
Yeah.
And they try to appear... Like, it's kind of a funny concept.
Man, Bill Corbett wrote that? Now my world is just completely turned upside down.
Well, he had the standard, you know, I went to Hollywood and they changed all my ideas. Which, you know, they did that to our prominent crotch boy Jr. pitch. So,
yeah, that was a damn shame. Prominent Crotch Boy Jr. was going to be an awesome movie.
Listen, here's the thing.
They turned it into Green Hornet.
Is that any good?
I don't know. I haven't seen it.
Did you not see it out of spite?
Well, it was just one of those movies where I heard a ton of people liked it and a ton of people hated it, and I just can't... I wasn't interested from the beginning, so I just couldn't be arsed.
Can't decide, brain aneurysm?
Yeah, basically.
All right. Now, I forgot where I was going with that. I don't know what you call it, a whole genre of movies, books, comics, TV shows where an artist goes to Hollywood and Hollywood changes their idea and they get so disgruntled and isn't Hollywood wacky. I'm so sick of that story.
Yeah.
You know what? Yeah. If you're a writer and you go to Hollywood and they change your idea and it surprises you, you're an idiot.
Yeah, make it
the look, warnings are there. We've been told this for 50 years that it's going to happen.
They took it all away from me, man. What happened?
They sold it out in fucking focus groups.
Really? This is a surprise to you? Yes!
Look, if we, you and I, we write things together, if we took something to a studio and they decided to change it all around, I would not be surprised. Whether or not we would accept that is another story. We would, you know, mm-hmm. depend on what it was. But seriously, like, if we wrote something and pitched it and they said, well, can it be more wacky? I don't know. How big is that bag with the dollar sign on it?
That's a pretty big bag.
I mean, there might be some things that we're principled about and we wouldn't want to change, but I have a price.
Listen,
I suspect you do too.
Listen, the character of Willikins is extremely nuanced. You can't just make him into this kind of character. That's not what the core is.
Look, we want it to be Malcolm McDowell. You can change everything else. Just make him Malcolm McDowell, all right?
Okay, it's not like Malcolm McDowell's not going to do it, okay? We both know that.
We have a sandwich.
We see Nick as a Justin Bieber character. I'm out. This shit isn't what I signed up for.
You know what? There's another rant I've been waiting to make.
Now, I don't want to get off on a rant.
Hey, I like that guy. Well, I'd like him back then. Now, the whole, like, anti... And I'll even throw Lady Gaga in this. People who pretend that pop music is somehow suddenly shitty. Like, Justin Bieber, what happened? When I was a kid, pop music was great. You know what? There was a Justin Bieber then, and there'll be another one in 10 years.
Yeah.
I'm so tired of hearing people, like, he's just the latest thing. Like, shut up.
Yeah, it's not for you. It's for little kids.
Yep, and they seem to love him. I don't even really know who he is. Like, Twitter wouldn't shut up about him.
No, he's a small boy with a big haircut.
Well, you know, as a
like
fat Chekhov.
Man
as a fat man with a bad haircut, I can appreciate that. All right, next letter comes from Deke Winsome.
Ah, Deke Winsome.
I love saying Deke Winsome.
Deke Winsome.
And he writes, thanks for your kind of scathing words about my recent fanfic entry. As my first words written in the English language, I felt it was also my best words written in the English language. I decided I'd best give you guys a distinction between Orson Welles and Orson Welles. George Orson Welles, May 6, 1915 to October 10th, 1985, is a real person, best known as Orson Welles. He was an American filmmaker and real-life glutton. Wells is widely acknowledged as one of the most accomplished dramatic artists of the 20th century, especially for his significant and influential role of Unicron in the 1986 animated feature Transformers the Movie. He may have also made some other movies or something at some point. Yeah, that's about right.
Yep.
George Takei Orson Welles, May 6, 1915 to current, is a fictional person best known as Orson Welles. He's an American filmmaker and fictional Seattle crime boss. Welles is widely acknowledged as one of the most accomplished dramatic crime bosses of Seattle, especially for his significant and influential owning of a vintage Swin bicycle. It may also be at least half whale. Deke, you know what? I'm not going to tell. I didn't want to tell people how to vote in our fanfic contest, but I would really like for you to be the dark horse winner.
Yeah, that was.
You're just a little stranger than I counted on. You're a little weird. I like that. You're weird, kid. I like that.
Where is Deke from? Do we know that?
No, I don't know. I suspect he may have found me through my dumb Transformers reviews, but I honestly don't know.
Deke, where are you from? And like, I apologize if you've already told us and we've forgotten. That's just how we roll.
Do you mean geographically, or do you mean how did he come to find the show?
No. Well, I mean, that's interesting, too. I wouldn't mind hearing that also. But where are you from? What language do you normally speak that is not
No, I
English?
Think that's a joke, because he's been writing us letters for, like, a year. So.
Oh, well, whatever.
He writes to us in English all the time, and it's usually well-constructed, so. Final email comes from Duh. And it's actually a link, which we will share in the show notes. Oh, have you seen this, Matt? It's a trailer for a movie called Rubber Tire, or I think it's called Rubber.
Oh, I've heard of this.
Yeah, it's
this is a movie about a tire.
I think it's a joke. I don't think it's an actual. It could be an actual movie. I don't know.
Yeah, listen, this is what happened when we took Prominent Crotch Boy Jr. to Hollywood.
Oh, man. Prominent Crotch Boy Jr. Wither Prominent Crotch Boy Jr., Matt. Wither.
Thither.
No, this is a fun little thing. It unfortunately we've reached this point, and I think I've mentioned this before. We've reached this sort of irony, like folding in on itself, like event horizon, where I don't know if this is a joke or if it could be a real movie. Everything's so weirdly self-aware and meta now. Like who knows? I can't tell. Like, I thought The Sorcerer's Apprentice with Nick Cage was a joke.
Alas, if only.
Because we're getting to the point where it used to take, and I've talked about this before, it used to take 15 to 20 years for you to come up with the most ridiculous thing you could think of, and then it became real. Now it happens almost instantly.
Oh, yeah.
Where you say, I don't know, maybe in Transformers 3, they'll tie it into the moon landing. Yep, they did that. Stupidest thing I could think of off the top of my head, and Michael Bay is tying Transformers 3 into the Apollo moon landing.
Well, you know.
No, I don't.
But, there was that time Optimus Prime met Buzz Aldrin, and that was awesome. And then Optimus Prime accused Buzz Aldrin of never going to the moon, and Buzz Aldrin punched him in the face.
Punched him once, and then Optimus punched him twice. And then they had a gay gold paint orgy with Kevin Bacon. Buzz Aldrin,
and then someone yelled, "Hollow Man!"
Hollow Man! Buzz Aldrin, I know you didn't have a gay orgy. Please don't punch me. But yeah, this Rubber Tire, I really can't tell if this is a fake trailer or not. I will post it and let you guys decide, but it's entertaining is what it is.
You be the judge.
You watched it. You can't unwatch it.
Interesting stuff, eh?
Something you started saying briefly and appear to have stopped saying is interesting if true. And Amanda's picked up on that, and she says it quite a lot too.
I was really delighted when you and her started picking up on that.
Where is that from something, or did you just start saying it?
I don't remember where that's from. I think it's from Futurama.
The delivery is what sells it for me. Interesting if true. Like, you can't say that without sort of narrowing your eyes and nodding a bit. And if you have facial hair, like, stroking your chin a little.
Interesting if true.
Yeah. That almost sounds like it could be a wacky feature on our show, but I can't think of what it would be.
Next up on Interesting If True.
I've been looking at our friend Juan, who's been on the show a couple of times. He's been on the Clusterflunks. He's from Panama, so it's hard to get him on for a full segment, unfortunately.
Right.
he's taken to, he's been doing this for about a week now, teaching our friend Ashwin from India phrases in Spanish. And each day he'll come on and he'll teach him a new phrase.
Yep.
That has to do with a cow. My cow is brown. My cow gives milk. And then they get more elaborate. Like, my cow is one of the million people protesting in Egypt.
Long cow is long.
Yeah. So it's been really interesting. I briefly considered turning that into a feature on the show. And now Spanish lessons with Juan. Mi vaca es whatever. And then Dave would say, you know,
mi vaca es su vaca. My cow is your cow.
Yes. This has been Spanish lessons with Juan. Because, I mean, you know, we always need more bits, and that seems like a great bit.
Even now, when we're almost at 100 episodes, we have not gotten as many bits as we plan to someday have.
Listen, in the past hour, how many times have we stopped and said, well, we've talked about this before, but...
That's our new bit.
Talking about everything from before?
Yeah. In fact, I think for the next 200 episodes, or for the next 100 episodes, we'll just replay the first 100 episodes.
No, I told you what's going to happen with us. I don't want to get into that.
We're not talking about this now.
No, I don't want to get into that. That's a serious discussion that I really would rather not have on the air.
Look, can you cut all this out?
Yeah, I'll edit this. All right, so that's all for this week, I think. Matt, you got anything else, or is it?
No, I think that's it for this one.
What was your catchphrase? You said you were going to print that on a shirt.
I want to put, I think that's it for this one.
No, I thought I thought it was slightly different.
It's a thing I say whenever we finish up on Post-Atomic Horror. Oh. Matt, you got anything else? No, I think that's it.
So that'll be the next shirt.
Yeah.
Oh, fucking buy shirts.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was the other thing I wanted to mention. We have now covered our overhead. We've paid for the shirts. We paid we paid the lovely Liz Ladner. Don't start with the fucking alliteration. That was non-intentional. We paid Liz Ladner for her logo efforts. So every shirt we sell going forward is profit. So we could use a couple of bucks in profit. So buy a shirt, please.
They're really cool. You know you want one.
And Post-Atomic Horror shirts coming soon, too.
Yes.
All right. That's all for us. Next week is episode 100. Big change is coming. Big exciting things. So look forward to that. But that's all for us. We're going to stop talking now.
Yep.
The Sarcastic Voyage podcast is published weekly and is a co-production of Ron Algar Watt and Matt Robotham. All material contained herein is the intellectual property of the co-producers and any featured guests unless otherwise noted. Visit sarcasticvoyage.com for show notes, related links, and alternate file formats. Listener feedback can be sent to podcast@algar.com or to the show's voicemail, 206-973-3982. The Sarcastic Voyage podcast is a trademark of Algar Productions. Copyright 2011.